Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 27. First Samuel chapter 27. Let's pray. Lord, we ask this morning that You would lead us to good pasture. That You would lead us to good feeding ground. Lord, may this portion of Your Word encourage us, warn us, change us. Help us to be those who will not compromise when it comes to following You. Let us be those who make the choice to be on Your side. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and put the fan on low. You know, we told you that this was for Vacation Bible School this week, but actually we're also starting a campaign this morning to recruit some of you to become full-time missionaries in Africa. Anybody? No? Well, you might someday in your life be this might feel a little bit what it'd be like to be a missionary in Africa. I don't know. Kim and I actually, though, have never felt called to be a missionary in Africa. We've never felt called to be missionaries in a foreign land. But when we did move here to El Paso, we did sort of feel like missionaries to a foreign land. And that's because El Paso is a border town, right? And there's a blend. There's an overlap between culture, between Juarez, Mexico, and El Paso, Texas. And we love that blend of culture, but it did take us off guard when we first got here. I remember how frustrating it was for us when Kim was being turned down from many jobs that she was qualified for simply because she didn't speak Spanish. But that's not a bad thing. That's just the way it is here. It's important. There are many applications for someone to be bilingual in this city. So we have learned a whole lot since moving to El Paso. We've appreciate the different cultures we've been exposed to. We love the food, except I still have a hard time with menudo and mole, but I'm working on it. But it has been an enriching experience to live on the border. It's a dangerous experience, however, to live on the spiritual border. It's dangerous when a person lives in a place where they're trying to be a Christian and trying to also be worldly at the same time. It's dangerous when a person sits right there on that fence that separates heaven from hell, the church from the world, the godly from the ungodly, and trying to walk down that fence. It's dangerous when a person is bilingual spiritually, speaking Christianese and Satanese, being worldly and spiritual at the same time. It's simply, it's folly to do that. And a person can get in a whole lot of danger doing that. And you know, actually, Jesus told us that the middle ground really doesn't exist the way He sees it. Jesus said, you're either sold out for Me or you're against Me. There is no middle ground, yet sadly, many people try to find that middle ground and walk that little middle ground. And many Christians do that. Not a good thing. In our text this morning, this is what David tries to do. He tries to walk this middle ground. As we've been studying his life on Sunday mornings, boy, we're encouraged by some of his great godly actions. And there's so many things about David that we should model. This morning in our text, we're warned as we look at David's life, this period of compromise that he enters into. Look at verse 1 of chapter 27 and let's see what David did. said, "And David said in his heart, 'Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand.' Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives." Verse 4. "And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, 'If I now find favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?' So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months." Here we see David making a conscious, deliberate decision to move from within the borders of Israel to outside the borders of Israel. He decides to move outside of the promised land to the territory under the control of the enemies of Israel. This is a compromising move. This is not a good decision, but he makes it. Look at some of the facts. In verse 1, he says, "There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines." The Philistines were an idolatrous nation. They did not accept the God of Israel. They worshiped satanic idols. David is moving his men there. The Philistines at this point are the arch enemies of Israel. There's fighting all the time between the Philistines and the armies of Israel. In fact, in chapter 31, Saul, who's king of Israel, will get killed by the Philistines in a battle. Now, David thinks he's going to get cover from Saul, who's trying to kill him. But David is, in a sense here, defecting, hanging out with the enemy. Verse 3, it says, David dwelt with Achish at Gath. Gath was one of the 5 royal cities in the region of Philistia, the region of the Philistines. It was like a capital city. Achish is the king of that city. That's where David is. And it's interesting, probably the most famous giant who's ever lived in all of history came from the city of Gath. Remember the giant named Goliath? Remember David went up against Goliath? Remember God delivered Goliath into David's hand? Well, now David is hanging out in Goliath's hometown. Not good. But David doesn't want to live in Gath. He doesn't want to go too far. He doesn't want to live in the royal city of the Philistines. He'd rather have a different place, a smaller place. And so he asked Achish. And in verse 6, Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. So, for a little over a year, David and his 600 men will live in this city called Ziklag. And I find some rich symbolic meaning with that city, Ziklag. Ziklag, folks, was the city of compromise. It had a long history with the nation of Israel as a city of compromise. In the book of Joshua, when the nation of Israel goes into the promised land to conquer the promised land, that city, Ziklag, was first given to the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was later given to the tribe of Simeon. Neither Judah nor Simeon took it over. They never got it out of Philistine hands. So it had always been compromised. And now the Philistines own it. Now the Philistines control it. It is the city of compromise, and I see it symbolic of David. He's compromising. He's in the city of compromise, and he's making a compromise. As it turns out, Ziklag was also a border town. It was located right on the border of Philistia and Israel. Right there on that border. It's symbolic to me. David is living in middle ground. He's living right there on the boundary. Right there on the border. He's making a compromise. My brother and sister in Christ, you cannot compromise. Christian, don't ever find yourself in Ziklag, the city of compromise. Don't do that. It's dangerous. The moment you compromise, that first step into compromise, you will be able to compromise more and more. It'll become easier and easier to do. And it'll be a snowball effect, and you'll go right down the hill, and you know what? You'll crash at the bottom. It'll be a wreck. Don't do that. When you compromise, you let Satan in the door. And when Satan is in the door, he can run amok. Did you know that when the federal income tax was signed into law in 1913, a senator speaking in opposition to the bill stated this: "If we allow this 1% foot in the door, at some future date, it might rise to 5%. Wouldn't that be great if it were 5% today? That one step in the door has led to compromise. It leads to more. That's the same thing in your life. And you know what, Christian? If you do succumb to compromise, if you do begin to compromise, you will normally take somebody down with you, a Christian brother or sister. Few people compromise alone. Most Christians, when they compromise, will fall and they'll drag other people down with them. David's the leader here. He compromises. He now has 600 men in their families living in Ziklag with him. Christian father, Christian husband, you compromise, you'll cause your family to compromise. Christian mom, you compromise, you'll cause your children to compromise. You got a friend and you start to compromise, you might bring your friend down. The dangers of compromise. David and Ziklag, what got him there? How did he get to this state? How do we get to that state? Well, as you know already, at this point in David's life, he was under tremendous pressure. He's been a fugitive on the run for a number of years now. He's living in caves, he lives in forests, he's living in the wilderness. He's being relentlessly chased throughout the wilderness by King Saul. King Saul wants him dead. He's tired of that. No doubt he was also feeling the responsibility of being the leader of those 600 men and all their families. Not only does David have to keep him safe, he has to keep the group safe. He was under a lot of pressure. As we've been studying in his life, he's been being returned evil for the good that he's doing. He's being treated unfairly. He's got injustice upon him all the time. And the pressure is just mounting and mounting. It never gives up. And he's tired. He's fed up. And he's snapping. That's how great the pressure was. And you know, at this time in David's life, David, the man after God's own heart, truly believes in his heart that God has left him. God has abandoned me. That's what he's thinking. It's all over for me. We know that David wrote some Psalms, and we know how he was feeling in his heart in the days leading up to this decision. And Psalm chapter 10, verse 1, this is what David wrote. He said, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" In Psalm 22, verse 1, David wrote this: my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" Listen to what he says in Psalm 13, 1. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Psalm 13 has been called the howling psalm, because throughout the psalm, David's crying out, "How long? How long? It's like he's howling in his heart in anguish. Do you ask questions like that? Have you ever asked the Lord questions like that? Have you ever been under that much pressure? I'm tired. I'm going to give up. I'm fed up. How long do you howl in your soul at God sometimes? You know, there is pressure in the Christian life, and there will be. Pressure never leads to compromise. It's how we respond to pressure. That's what leads to compromise. And David is not responding well to the pressure in his life. In fact, I want you to look closer at verse 1. Here we get a real window into the soul of a man about to compromise because of pressure. Notice what he's saying. David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul." Who's he talking to there? Is he talking to the Lord? He's not, is he? And you know, that was what was normally characteristic of David. He'd seek the Lord. He'd talk to the Lord. He'd inquire of the Lord. He's not doing so here. He's having a conversation with himself. That's a dangerous thing to do when you're under pressure. You can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your thoughts. You need to get objective truth from God. You need to inquire of Him, and you need to see what the Lord says in black and white about your circumstance. That's what David's doing, though. David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul." That's a lie. He wasn't going to perish by the hands of Saul. God had promised him that he wouldn't perish by the hands of Saul. God has anointed David as the next king of Israel. God has promised David, "You're going to be on the throne." But David is forgetting the promises of God under pressure. We also see David taking the matters into his own hands. And again, that's uncharacteristic of David. He would normally give his cases to the Lord, as we've studied time and time again, but not here. Look what he says in verse 1. "There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." He's taken matters into his own hands. "I shall escape. I will leave Israel and I will go into the land of the Philistines. If I stay here in the border, in the borders of the promised land, Saul's going to kill me for sure. I don't know where God is. He hasn't shown up. I think he's hiding. I'm going to take matters into my own hands and I'm going to leave." Isn't it funny? Actually, isn't it tragic? How present danger can distort your whole outlook on life. Isn't it tragic how a present danger, a present circumstance can obscure the promises of God in your life? You know why that happens? Here's why. Christian, my brother and sister in Christ, when we get caught up with a problem, when we come across a battle, when we come across danger, most of the times you and I will take that situation and we'll put it right there. And everywhere you look, you see your problem. You look up, you see the problem. You look down, you look this way, there's the problem. It's right there. And you know what that does? It eclipses everything else you know to be true about God and what He said. And what you need to do is move that problem, move that danger, put it out here somewhere and see it in the perspective of the universe that God is running. See it in His perspective. David Rittinghouse was a great astronomer living in Pennsylvania. He was very skillful in measuring the size of the planets and determining the position of the stars. And this great astronomer learned something very quick in his career. He learned that he needed to make sure to keep the lenses and the telescopes that he used clean. get all the dirt, get all the hair off those lenses. Because there was one point where he was looking up at the skies and he was watching this star, and through the telescope, this star slowly disappeared from view. And he just, what in the world? Where did that go? Well, he looked at the lens and it turns out there was a single strand of silk thread on that lens. And when you look through it with the telescope, it had covered the star. It had eclipsed it. That's what problems do with us. These little threads get in the way and we can't see the stars. We can't see the universe. We can't see that problem in the right light. We take that problem, we take that pressure, we give it here, we put it up here, and then we can also see God. And we can see His promises, and we can see His promises for our future. And we can see hope. We can see His glory. We can see His way in it. Maybe that's you this morning. You're filled with pressure. You're under pressure, and you've got that so close up. Put that up. Don't compromise. Don't use that as an excuse to start compromising. And you know, maybe you're under so much pressure that you don't even feel like going to the Lord. Listen, force yourself to your knees. Force yourself. You may not feel like it, but in a time like that, you've got to think clearly. You can't trust your own emotions. Get on your knees. Seek the Lord. But don't compromise. David did compromise. And let me show you something very tricky, something very deceptive about when a person compromises. Look at verse 4. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Guess what? David's plan worked. He got relief. He's now in the land of the Philistines. You know what? And Saul's too much of a wimp to attack the Philistines. David's found relief. It's worked. He could have sat there and went, yeah, helped God out on that one. Took care of things. Here's the tricky part. When you compromise your Christian faith, your Christian walk in some way, a lot of times you will find relief from an immediate danger in your life. There may be some peace. And you may think, oh boy, I'm glad I made that decision. But you know what? David may have found personal relief from King Saul, but he's going to enter into some problems like he never dreamed or anticipated or counted on. It's going to open up a whole new set of situations for David, as we'll see. We also know that he may have had this temporary relief from Saul, but in his soul, he was still under pressure. He wasn't relieved on the inside. Things aren't good for David during this year. In fact, most scholars believe that there wasn't one single psalm written by David during this year. The sweet psalmist of Israel is silent during that year. He's not getting songs from the Lord that year. I have found that when a person compromises their Christian faith in some way, compromises morals in some way, to avoid some situation, they'll be relieved. But you know what? There'll also be a storm that's coming. And sadly, let's read and look what happens to David. Verse 8 says, and David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Girzites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as you go to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive. but took away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Then Achish would say, where have you made a raid today? And David would say, against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jerahmeelites, or against the southern area of the Kenites. David would save neither man nor woman to bring news to Gath, saying, lest they should inform on us, saying, thus David did. And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. David begins to lead a life of deception in the city of compromise. Here we see David beginning to live a double life. It says in verse 8 that he's raiding the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. He's stealing from them. He's killing all of them. He's plundering them. Those people mentioned there were the enemies of Israel and the enemies of the Philistines. They were mutual enemies. And so David may have felt good about the fact that he was attacking those that were enemies of God's people. He wasn't doing anything against God's people. But he's telling Achish a different story. When Achish asked him, hey, where have you been raiding? Verse 10, David would say, against the southern area of Judah, which is in Israel, or against those other two areas. You see, David is giving this king, Achish, the impression that he's raiding his own people, Israel. He wants Achish to think, yep, I've really defected. So he's out there slaughtering his own people. He's not in fact doing that, but he's giving Achish that impression. And Achish believes it. In verse 12, he says, he has made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. David living a double life. David now leading a deception. David now in a situation where he's trying to make Achish and the Philistines happy without hurting his own people. That's the double life. That's a life of deception. That's living right there in that dangerous middle ground. My brother and sister in Christ, if you compromise your Christian faith or your Christian life, there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will begin to live a life of deception. You will begin to live a double life. You'll begin to live in the middle ground. You will live in a situation where you're over here trying to please all your buddies in the world, make them happy, get accepted right there on that side, while at the same time making sure that all your friends at church are unconcerned about you, not worried. And so you have secrets from this camp. You have to cover your tracks all the time. Just like David had to kill all those people so nobody would come back and tell Achish what he's really doing. David's covering his tracks. Takes a lot of hard work. But if you live right there in that middle ground, that's what you'll do. You'll be covering tracks. You'll be keeping secrets. And your environment in life will have to be carefully controlled. There will be this group that you will hang out with. And then there will be this group that you hang out with. And you will work very hard to keep those groups from mingling together and you being right there in the middle. Can't have that because then you'd be exposed, right? So the Christian teenager claims to be a Christian. Acting one way at school, mom and dad don't have any idea. Oh, the secrets that have to happen there. Oh, the deceit. Oh, the hard work. To live a double life is hard. It's tiring. There's no rest in a person's soul who's leading that kind of life. Somebody wrote down what he labeled an ode of the hypocrites, or of those living a double life. It says, "We are split spiritual personalities. We swear allegiance to one set of principles and live by another. We extol self-control and practice self-indulgence. We proclaim brotherhood and harbor prejudice. We laud character, but strive to climb to the top at any cost. We erect houses of worship, but our shrines are our places of business and recreation. We are suffering from a distressing cleavage between the truths we affirm and the values we live by. Our souls are the battlegrounds for civil wars. But we are trying to live serene lives in houses divided against themselves." You cannot be at peace. There will be a civil war going on inside your heart. You just can't do it. And if you lead a life of deception, if you continue on that path, it will come to a head. There will come a crisis point in your life. Things will cave in. Things will crash. Look what happens to David. Look at verse 1 of chapter 28. "Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, 'You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men.' So David said to Achish, 'Surely you know what your servant can do.' And Achish said to David, 'Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever.'" Folks, David gets in deep, deep water. David gets in over his head. He gets into a place of absolute hopeless compromise. Now he is going to be forced to live the lie. The Philistines are going to fight Israel now. Achish says, "Hey, you've been so good, David. And you've already been raiding your own people anyway. Suit up. And in fact, David, let me make you a general, basically, in my army. Think of it. David, who's supposed to be the next king of Israel, fighting as a general in the armies of the enemies of God who are planning to attack Israel. Oh, is he in a tough spot?" By the way, you don't attack Israel. Don't ever become a part of an army that attacks Israel. Bible shows in both Old and New Testament, those armies that come against Israel are in big trouble. But that's where David is. I am sure that he probably thought to himself, "How in the world did I get here? I am certain that David would never have expected to get to that point." You know, I hear that from Christians so many times. How did I get here? The Christian young person who blows herself away or himself away by, you know, using heroin. How did I get here? How did I get to this point where now I'm using heroin? I've heard Christian young people say, "How in the world did I get to the point where now I'm sniffing coke? Boy, I never would have thought that I would ever get to this point in my life where I had done this sexual act." The Christian husband who weeps and cries, "I never would have believed that I would have had this affair." You know where that starts? You know where all of that starts? Compromise. Way back somewhere over here, that person begins to compromise and they begin to walk the middle ground and they try to play the game. You know, Jesus is right. There is no such thing as middle ground. Neutrality will eventually give way to allegiance to one side or the other. Compromise is like a giant funnel. Very wide up here, but the more you do it, it comes to a point and you will choose. You'll be forced, like David. You will fight in the armies of God against the enemies of God, or you will fight in the army of the enemies of God against the people of God. You'll make that choice. And it all starts with a little bit of compromise. So dangerous. Let's continue reading the story. Look at verse 1 of chapter 29 now. As that continues this story. Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Now watch this. Then the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me." But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him. And do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s?'" There David is. He's in that hopeless situation. He's going to fight in the armies of the enemies of God against Israel. There he is. But the princes of the Philistines come along. And wisely they say, "David and his men can't be a part of this. What if David were to turn right in the midst of the battle? What if David were using this as a way to, you know, get in good with Saul again?" They make a wise decision. "We can't have David a part of this army. Don't do that." David is now being distrusted by the enemies of God. You see, David living in that middle ground has become a man that nobody really takes seriously. Nobody takes him serious. Everybody distrusts him. He's distrusted by the enemies of God and he's on the outs with the people of God. You see, he's a man who's living in a state where he hasn't taken a stand. Nobody knows where he's at. Nobody trusts him on either side. And you know, a person who's walking the middle ground, who's in compromise, oftentimes can become the target of both sides. Because nobody knows where you're at. Remember what Paul Harvey said about the story that he used to tell about the uncertain soldier in our Civil War who, figuring to play it safe, dressed himself in a blue coat and gray pants and tiptoed out onto the field of battle. You know what happened to that guy? He got shot from both directions. That's what happens to a person who tries to live in the middle ground. They'll get shot from both directions. Nobody will take you serious. Miserable place to be. Interesting to me what they say in verse 3. Look at that. The princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" What in the world is David and his men doing in this army? They don't fit. They don't belong here. What are they doing here? Christian, have you been in a place recently where the world might say, "What are you as a Christian doing here? What are Christians doing in this place?" That's a sad state when the world has a higher perspective on the Christian faith than the very Christian who claims to live the Christian faith. What are you doing? The world might say, "What are you doing here? Aren't you a Christian?" What a sad state. David was also, I'm sure, just torn up in his heart at this point, in his soul. He doesn't have any home. There's no home sweet home for David. He feels so out of touch, so out of place. There's no place for him. A person who lives a compromising Christian life, who walks that middle ground, is out of place. There's no home sweet home. A Christian living on middle ground has too much of the world in him to be at peace in the Lord, and he has too much of the Lord in him to be at peace in the world. It just doesn't work. Well, verse 6. Then Achish called David and said to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out and you're coming in with me, and the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." So David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant, as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Imagine that. Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning, to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Humiliation on the dangerous middle ground. This was a humiliating thing for David and his men. "You can't fight. Go home. We won't take you." So much humiliation can happen to a person who's living in compromise. They'll be humiliated by the world. And many times they'll be humiliated in the church. Or worse, they'll bring humiliation to the church. Such a horrible thing. Such great consequences. And then look in verse 1 of chapter 30. "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day," they're returning home, "that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." On that middle road, on that middle ground, folks, in that area of compromise, in that lukewarm living, I've seen men and women lose what's very valuable to them. I've seen Christian husbands lose entire families. I've seen Christian wives lose their husband, lose their children. I've seen Christian men who compromise in their business lose their business. It's dangerous there. There's a crash coming there. There's a storm coming there. It also says in verse 4, they wept until they had no more power to weep. You see them just weeping? It's a state of grief. I mean, you don't have any more tears to cry. I've seen that too. We are not to compromise, ever. The price is too much. So many dangerous things can happen. Oh, there might be relief from that present danger, but it's the stakes are too high. There's too much to lose. We shouldn't live in Ziklag. Where was God in all of this? Where was God with David at this point in his life? For that year and 4 months. Had God disappeared? He hadn't. But you know, I do believe that the blessings of God were not on David. I don't think he had the blessing of God on his life during that year. He's not seeking the Lord. He doesn't seem to have that closeness to God like he does in the past. He did in the past. He's not writing any songs. But you know what? God did not let David go too far. Isn't that great? We do have a God of grace, and he doesn't leave us, and he won't let us go too far if we're truly born again. If we're truly Christians, and we start to slip, and we crack under pressure, and we might start down a road, and we might get far down that road. I don't believe God will let us go too far. In fact, I think it's wonderful here that God used the princes of the Philistines to keep David from going too far. Wait a minute, those guys don't fit. Set them back. That's awesome. God used them. And as we study next week, Lord willing, we'll see that God will give David and his men his families back. Their families back. God is taking care of them. And I do believe, my brother and sister in Christ, if you truly know the Lord, he won't let you go too far. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My Father, who has given them," that's us, "to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 8, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God will keep us from going too far. But you know what? David did pay a price, didn't he? That was a tough year for David. Don't have a tough year. Don't have a tough week. Don't have a tough month. Don't have a tough day. Don't compromise. Don't compromise as a person. Don't compromise as a family. Don't compromise in a business. Stand up always for the truth of Jesus Christ. Stand according to his moral principles. Stand tall, stand solid, stay true, don't compromise. Like Joshua said in the book of Joshua, though everyone else can do whatever they want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's your choice. That's what you need to make. And you need to draw that line in the sand. When those pressures come, and they will. There will become times in your life where you think, man, I'm just tired of this. I'm fed up. The pressure's too great. Force yourself to your knees. Hear from the Lord. Take those problems and that pressure and you put it out here and see it in a different perspective. And draw close to the Lord. Don't run from Him. Oh, my life is so terrible. Don't need God. I'm going to run and do this or that. No. Life becomes hard. Run to Jesus. Cling to Him. B.M. Launderville gives a great illustration that I think so wonderfully applies to what we've studied this morning. He says this, the vine, we've got lots of vines around here this morning. The vine clings to the oak during the fiercest of storms. Although the violence of nature may uproot the oak, twining tendrils of the vine still cling to it. If the vine is on the side of the tree opposite the wind, the great oak is its protection. If it is on the exposed side, the tempest only presses it closer to the trunk. In some of the storms of life, God intervenes and shelters us, while in others, He allows us to be exposed so that we will be pressed more closely to Him. Let that pressure, let those problems press you closer to Jesus. But don't compromise. Don't go to Ziklag. There's a downward cycle that begins there. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray this morning for anyone here who has been compromising. Lord, You know all of our hearts and You know those of us who maybe are trying to live in that middle ground. Oh, my friend, if that's you, don't. Pick a side. Jesus said, you are either sold out for me or you are against me. Be for Jesus. Stand on His side. Stand on the side of God's people. Do it for you. Do it for your family. Do it for your friends. And no turning back. And ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you. Get serious with the Lord. I want to give you a few moments while the music just quietly plays. If you're in a place of compromise and you know that you need to make a stand, I want you to do that right now. You do it in your heart. Open your heart right now to the Lord. Come back to Him. Take some time. Praise You, Lord. Lord, I also want to pray for those who carry strong burdens here this morning, those who are under tremendous amounts of pressure. Give them strength. Give them the power of Your Holy Spirit. Keep them strong. Don't let them slip, Lord. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand and sing this next song. And here's what I want you to do. As you stand, stand for Jesus Christ. Make that a commitment. Let's stand together as people who will not compromise, and let's stand for Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Let's sing. Let's pour our hearts out to the Lord.
You.
As we close, maybe some of you need prayer. You need prayer this morning. You need the help of the Lord in your life to follow Him. You need to come forward. Share that with myself. Martin will be up here. We'd love to pray for you. Don't be embarrassed by it. We're all human. We all need God's help. Please come forward and share your need with us. We'd love to pray for you. God bless you. Have a marvelous, wonderful day in the Lord.